Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Monica T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Friday, the 24th day of April, 2015. And today, we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter Into Action, and we are on page 75, and we will be beginning with the last paragraph on 75 for context, and then reading the next paragraph on page 76, which will be shared upon. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Ann G., 12 Traditions, Pat N., Text Readers, Kathleen W., Santa H., Sarah W., and Newcomer Griever, Devorah S. And the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, the 23rd day of April, is 7498. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. This meeting's primary purpose is to abstain, to recover from compulsive overeating, and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Ann G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ann G., the compulsive overeater from Colorado. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Angie. And I will now ask Pat N. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Vision for You. My name is Pat N., and I am a compulsive overeater from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Pat N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately three minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 75, and we will be reviewing, we will be reading the last paragraph on page 75 and the first paragraph on page 76, and we will be discussing that first paragraph on page 76. And Kathleen W., would you begin reading for us, please? Star 1 to unmute, Kathleen.
This is Kathleen W. from Arizona. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Okay, good. Okay. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can He now take them all, everyone? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. And I'm reading a book right now on steps 6 and 7. And I do have some character defects that I still cling to. And there was a part in the book that I read on step 6 that said that God puts people in our lives that are mirrors of us. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks because I have someone in my life right now. I don't know if she's one of us or not, but she is. I'm assuming she's not in program. And God reveals things to me a lot. And He revealed to me that, you know, she says things and it hurts my feelings sometimes, you know, and then I have to do a 10 step. But He revealed to me that she is just a mirror of me. And, you know, when I have insomnia and I, you know, get irritable because I haven't slept, and I may, my character defects come out on my husband and daughter, and then, you know, I have to make amends. And then, and it occurred to me that she is just a mirror of me. When she does something that hurts my feelings, God revealed to me that that is how my husband and daughter must feel when I, when my character defects come out. So God is just reminding me, he continually reminds me, you know, how important it is for me to work step six and all the steps. And it helps me stay closer to the program. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And who would like to comment on this paragraph, this first paragraph on page 76? Excuse me, say your name again.
This is Bella. Can I share?
Hold on, everybody, please. I didn't get hardly anybody. I got Bella, I got Matt. All right, there was people in the beginning there.
That
Let's
is
try
w?
Again. Say that again, W.
Becca, W.
Becca?
Yes.
Becca,
Larry.
W. Okay. Bella, Matt, Larry.
Liz.
Reva P.
Reva P. Okay, let's start with what we. This is what I've got at the moment. Becca, W, Bella, Matt, Larry, Liz, and Reva P. So Becca, W, you're up, and then it'll be Bella.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Becca W, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. And I got the step six twice. The first time I got the step six, I quit the steps and I took a big break. And I had used a different method other than the big book. And I stopped because I was not willing. There were parts of my character that I was not willing to let go. And the reason I was not willing to let go, and I only figured this out after I did recovered using the big book, was because I thought that those character defects defined who I was. And if I got rid of those character defects, then I would be nothing. And to my surprise, when I actually was able to use the big book to recover and I got to step six, in steps four and five, I was able to discover things about myself and face things and let them go to the point of where I realized that those character defects were actually not me. They were things that were getting in the way of blocking me from God. And they didn't have to define me. A lot of them, you know, character defects, that has a negative connotation. And I was bringing out traits of myself that really, truly weren't the person that God intended me to be. So when I looked at those and I was willing to let those go and I was willing to let God define who I was, not my self-will define who I was, that's when the blockages were lifted. That's when I could prepare myself to give it away. And there's a parallel for me between steps six and seven and steps two and three. In step two, we are building our spiritual foundation and we bring ourselves to a point of where we make that simple decision. It's just like a quick step on three and then we're off into our inventory. And similarly with step six, it's a lot of work. We have to prepare ourselves to take that quick decision and make that quick decision and give everything away in step seven. So step six is extremely important because we can't get rid of our character defects. Like our disease, they will never go away. However, they can be quieted and they do not have to define who we are. So we can prepare and then ask God to quiet those. And what's left is our assets. And therefore, God works through our assets. We become the person he wants us to be. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Becca W. And Bella, you're up. And then it'll be Matt.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G. And I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Monica, for doing this service. And thank you very much, everybody on the line. We have emphasized willingness. Wow. It's such a freedom. Thank you, God, that I don't have to be perfect anymore. Thank you very much, God, that I don't expect anybody to be perfect. The only thing that I have to do is the willingness. And this is what the program is teaching me, that I am a powerless human, a powerless person. I have one power, the power to choose the right choice one day at a time. And the right choice is the willingness. Thank you, God, that now I let go my power, my ego, that I need to be that one that's driving the life, not only of my life, everybody's else. Thank you, God, of the freedom that now I have to show the willingness to open the door to let God to come into my life. Only to open the door and God is there. Only the willingness, the power of the willingness. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. And Matt, you're up, and then it'll be Larry.
Hi, good morning, Monica. Thank you for your service, and good morning, fellow visionaries. This is Matt M., a compulsive overeater from New Jersey on the East Coast. Yeah, step 6 seems like a really small step, but it really is a big one. It's setting us up for the rest of the steps to do the rest of the hard work that needs to be continued. And it's also setting us up to have us look in the mirror and see ourselves for the first time and let us see ourselves for who we really are. And there's no coincidence that some of the people that I have in my life now, they really are, as someone said, mirrors in my own soul and mirrors in my own character defects. I used to think that there's some character defects, I'm going to be honest, that I like. And I used to be so reluctant to work the steps because I always thought that I would lose all the flavor, that, you know, all the color would drain out of me. I would have to become some kind of saint afterwards. I would have to be somebody who is, like, perfect, somebody that, you know, and you know what? Saints are intolerable to deal with. I'm a human being. I'm always going to be fallible. I'm always going to make mistakes. But what these steps are setting me up for, it's setting me up to catch myself a lot quicker and to admit my faults and also to be entirely ready to be willing to give over those faults and those character defects to my higher power. It's basically saying it's getting me ready to be completely free of the compulsion of overeating. And even though it seems like a quick step, it's really not. It's a day-to-day thing. I have to wake up with the willingness to surrender the parts of myself, character defects I do like and the ones I don't like. I'm just grateful that I have the willingness to do it. I haven't gone to this step yet, but I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. I have the willingness every day to finish where I'm at right now and to move forward. I didn't always have the willingness. And the days I don't have the willingness, I pray to have the willingness, and I move forward anyway. Because, you know, it does say, do we move forward or we fall back? You know, a lot of people die. Someone shared with me a couple days ago, die between steps 4 and 5. They never get to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and finish the steps. I refuse to be one of them because, you know what, I don't want to have so many examples of what not to do in my life right now. I'd rather not be another one of those examples for somebody else. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. And Larry K., you're up. And then
thanks,
it'll be
Monica.
Liz.
Oh, thanks, Monica. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. So, you know, just before 6, again, Bill often uses metaphors to drive home the importance of a process. And, you know, again, I love, you know, building mortar without sand. It's like, you know, it's like doing the steps improperly. You know, you know, we can't leave out the main ingredients. And to make mortar, you know, one has to measure 3 parts sand to 1 part, you know, masonry cement. And the mortar is not going to be effective if it's made improperly. And it's a step-by-step process. It's not terribly complex, but, you know, if we're going to convert, these materials into something solid, we have to make it correctly. So, you know, and once it's ready, mortar is a workable, you know, paste. It's used to bind building blocks, stone, bricks, all those things together. And, you know, if you look at, like, the Great Pyramids of Egypt, they were built with mortar, tons of mortar, limestone. And this is something that's lasted something like 4,500 years, one of the 7 wonders of the world. So, you know, early in program years ago, you know, I tried to build, you know, the Great Pyramid using inferior materials. You see, extremely self-centered, I came in, always prideful. I did what I always did. I tried to shortcut the process. You know, patience, thoroughness, humility, that was for suckers. That wasn't for me. Not me. I didn't come for, you know, true change and for a transformed heart and mind. I merely wanted the benefits without the work. And hard, you know, because hard work, that was for saps. You know, not me. Where can I cut corners? Maybe I can circumvent this thing, you know, shorten the cycle a bit, beat the system. And the disease had other ideas. And I would suggest for me that, thank God, that my higher power had other ideas. Because many have died trying to recreate the steps. And at best, shortcuts lead to staying stuck in the quicksand of disease with a smaller body. You know, fat or skinny, being in the quicksand is still, it's misery. And unless saved, I'll ultimately die in my misery. But on the other hand, how miraculous it is to be pulled from the jaws of death by my Creator. That's what happened for me. All I had to do was surrender by following some simple instructions. And, you know, once we're saved, you know, by way of a spiritual transformation, no one needs to tell you you've been saved. You'll know you've been saved. So it's a step-by-step thing. Approaching step six, I wasn't ready. And I continued to do what I always did, and I continued to get what I always received, which was nothing, the same stuff. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry K. And Liz, you're up, and then Reva P.
Hi, this is Liz S. from New Hampshire. And one of the step six was really quite a miracle for me. I finished step four, and, you know, my sponsor and I agreed that I really only had come up with four or five character defects that seemed to repeat themselves over and over again. And I was very concerned with the fact that I had not lived my life with just four or five defects. There were many, many, many more. And she had a format that I could use to work through lifting my defects and defining how they had worked for me in my life. And then actually finding their opposites and defining their opposites and how I could live in their opposites. And I had five pages of character defects by the time I finished. And that was extraordinary for me to really look at the defects that I had lived in all my life, but also to look at their opposites, because that was the information I needed. That gave me the information that I needed to go forward to live. That's how I had to switch and to turn things around. And it was a wonderful exercise. It took a while to do, but it was very worthwhile. And it made me realize that step six is absolutely vital. But it also made me see that I had to look at those defects, and I had to practice every single day of doing the opposite. And it's hard work. It's not easy to do differently. It's not easy to do the opposite. But it's by doing the opposite that I will become the opposite. And that's what I realized, that I have to continually practice and practice and practice. And when my higher power is ready, that defect will be lifted, but I have to continually do the opposite. But by doing that exercise, the column all the way on the right would tell me, this is what you have to do. So I just put that out there because it was very valuable to me to see, if I'm arrogant, well, this is what you have to do every day, Liz, in order to be living in the opposite of this defect. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. Reva P., you're up.
Reva P., good morning. This is Reva from Toronto. I find this interesting that when we get to step six, it's one short paragraph. And when I was first working the program the first couple of years, for me, this was like, a yes-no question. Am I ready to have my defects removed? Well, of course, I've just seen how objectionable they all are. So the answer was yes, and can I now please hurry on and do step 8 and 9 because I want to change. Once I've seen my defects and discussed them with my sponsor and taken the time to really see where I'm at fault, I just want to change. I just want to fix it. I just want to hurry up and move on. So I don't really think I understood step 6 or 7 until a few years ago when I started working the steps the way it's outlined in a much more rigorous way. And I find it interesting that we're asked the same question twice. You know, am I ready? And all the things, and take them all, every one. So for me, I have recently realized it's not such a simple question for me. When I look at what the defects are doing to me, yes, please take them away. This is awful. And when I sit still, and I actually do this in writing, and I look at what the defects are doing for me, that was transformational because I realized, consciously or unconsciously, I get some benefit from being the victim. I get some benefit from indulging in sick behaviors. I really do when I'm honest. And I needed to look at that. And then ask myself, so am I still willing to let this go? Because, you know, there's a benefit in being the victim. I don't have to take responsibility. I don't have to suit up, show up, and be the person God wants me to be when I'm in victim mode. So for me, this step has really been very, very helpful, and I don't think I understood what I was being asked at the beginning. So I need to pause before I say yes or no, and really look at what these defects are doing for me and how I get some secondary benefit before I can say, okay, God, I'm willing. It's terrifying to have to be a responsible adult, but let's do it because it's objectionable, objectionable. I can't stand them anymore as a abstinent person seeing them so clearly. And thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And who else would like to comment on this paragraph?
Kim.
Renata.
Melissa. Kim, Renata, Melissa,
Robbie.
Monica. You're, say that
Santa
again.
Santa H.
Santa H. Okay, I got Kim, Renata, Melissa, Santa H.
Robbia.
Robbia. And somebody else has just tried to get in. Okay, here we go. It's going to be Kim, Renata, Melissa, Santa H, Robbia, Monica. So Kim, you're up, and then Renata.
Ears are working really well this morning, Monica. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. You know, this is just two paragraphs. You know, how much do we need to know with step one? In step one, we had the step one and two, doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there is a solution, more about alcoholism, we agnostic. It took us 70 steps, 70 pages, I mean, to do steps one and two. And here we are, just two paragraphs. You know, for many years, I spent a long time in six and seven, yet the big book is just letting us know that through this process, we've learned what's objectionable, and we're asking God to remove it. It's only two paragraphs. Why is that? Because I don't do anything. This is not about me working the steps. This is about me acknowledging through my experience of step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 that I have a lot of defects that are blocking me from God, and therefore I'm going to ask God to remove them. You know, for me, I spent many years trying to work this step. And I just want to respectfully say this was my experience. I spent a lot of time trying to work the opposite, listing my assets, listing my defects, trying to figure out how I was supposed to do this. And that was me playing God again. What did I find out when I tried to control the process, when I was making my decisions about how I should act? I could have moral and philosophical convictions galore, but I couldn't do anything about it on my own. So 6 and 7 is simply acknowledging, yes, I have these things that block me, and God, you decide. You decide what's good and bad. You decide what is my next right to move.
You know, that most of the work, I mean, this is all it is, 6 and 7, acknowledging it, moving on to 8 and 9, because I need that spiritual awakening. If I sit in 6 and 7, I am increasing the percentages of that Mount Bliss is going to come back in. Now, ironically, when I'm in step 10, most of my work is going to be looking for these defects. In step 10, I'm asked to look for these defects. I'm asked to look for where I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. But once again, I'm not asked to work on them. I'm asked to turn them over to God immediately. So my work for the rest of my life is going to be looking for those things that block me from my higher power and turning them over to God. I do not work on my defects. Me working on me brought me crawling into the room of Overeaters Anonymous. Me playing whack-a-mole, trying to decide all these different defects and what I need to change today, got me restless, irritable, and discontent. And what I found for myself is the simplicity of that fourth column, where am I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Those were all my defects. I could wrap them up in pretty packages, like self, like passive aggression, abandonment issues, family of origin, but they all came down to those four. So if I kept it simple and understood in 6 and 7, my job is to recognize those defects and turn them over to God. My job in step 10 is to recognize those defects and turn them into God. I do not do this work. God does it for me. He does it to me. And the thing I'm going to end with is I remember hearing, I think it was Michelangelo, that famous sculptor, and they asked, how did you know how to make David, make that famous sculpture? And he said, well, the sculpture was always there. I just took away the parts that weren't necessary. That is what 6 and 7 is. We are all perfect children of our creators. And through 6 and 7, we are asking God to remove those parts of us that are not needed so we can become the people that God always intended us to be. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Renata, you're up, and then it'll be Melissa.
Thank you, Monica, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? And for me, you know, step 6, like first time going through the step work, I totally missed the mark. Like, I did not understand how important step 6 was. And, you know, I've heard someone say before, like, you know, if this was a 2-step program, it would be put the food down and change. And so, you know, when I got to step 6, I thought, oh, yeah, sure, of course I'm willing to have God remove all these character defects from me, you know, and I just wanted to sit back and relax and let God do all the work, you know. But it's like, for me, there's, you know, I can relate it with putting the food down. You know, of course I can't be abstinent on my own. I need God's help. I need God to do for me what I can't do for myself. But I have to put the food down. I need to put my character defects down, you know, and it says, are we willing? And how do we show willingness? The way I show willingness is not saying I am ready, I want this, I'm desperate, I'll do everything. It's not like that. The way I show willingness is by taking action. My actions are going to show if I'm really willing or not. You know, page 65 of AA 12 and 12 says, if we ask, God will certainly forgive our derelictions, but in no case does he render us as white as snow and keep us that way without our cooperation. That is something we are supposed to be willing to work toward ourselves. He asks only that we try as best as we know how to make progress in the building of character. So I have to do my part. You know, I have to, you know, for me was helpful too to write down the assets, the opposites of my character defects, because then now I had something to work towards. I had some guidance. I had something different than what I've always done. And, you know, like people shared before, if I kept doing the things I've always done, there's no change. And that's, you know, like first time around through the steps, I had to go back because, you know, I was doing my step 10s every day, but I was restless, irritable, and discontent, and I was miserable, and I couldn't understand why. But it's because my actions were not changing. I was doing everything I've done in the past and then doing step 10. So I wasn't free. I mean, the obsession to eat was lifted, but I had to change. I had to really strive for what God would have me be and not myself. Well, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Renata. Melissa, you're up, and then Santa H.
Good morning. This is Melissa Stay, a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. And, you know, to me, I think instantly of step one, because that's my admission that this problem is larger than just food and weight. You know, when I thought that food and weight was my real problem and my only problem, then I clung to my character defects because that defined me, and that's who I was. And, you know, but a real step one, you know, showed me I was completely powerless and unmanageable. Not just my weight unmanageable, but my life was unmanageable. I was unmanageable. And, you know, I have two modes, denial and obsession. That's part of my defect, is that I live in denial and then I obsess on things once I see it. And, you know, when I came to this work and step six, you know, there was a piece of me that was sad about letting go of some of these things, because it was how I defined myself. It was who I was. And then I thought that meant that I did everything wrong my entire life. And that was kind of painful to have to believe that about myself, that everything a huge mistake. And, you know, it helped when someone lovingly pointed out to me that, you know, my defects at one time could have been an asset, but they had outlived their usefulness. And that just helped me see them and let go of them, you know, in a softer way. That, you know, it was at one time my security blanket, my teddy bear, but I had outgrown it, and it was time to let it go, because I was powerless to this, and I needed to remove any obstacle that was in the way of me, you know, gaining access to the power that could save me. And I'm just grateful that I could let go of those things and then grow into who I am really, truly meant to be. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. And Santa H., you're up, and then Rabia.
Good morning, visionaries. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, God. I just wanted to comment a little bit on the step six process, and just wanting to briefly speak about it from a sponsor point of view. Now, this is the step where my sponsee just done their step five. They went away for an hour, and they're coming back, and they had just gotten a connection with a power greater than themselves. That's what the whole purpose of doing the fifth step is about. And so this is all new to them. And I let my sponsees know that when you're going through this process the first time, I call it the University of Higher Power. You're in the classroom. It's not expected for us to know it all. And it's not expected for us to be able to have a conscious contact with our higher power as someone who's living in 10 and 11 and 12. And so when I get to this point after that, here is identifying their character defects. That's what step six is all about. Oh, okay, I see this. Now is understanding this step. And what I also do is I have my sponsors read step six and seven and 12 and 12, and we take two meetings to go over that to get an understanding what the step is about. And I found from my own experience that helps remove the fear of understanding that now this is a God thing. You know, this is where my higher power is taking over, and I'm now no longer running the show. But that's a process. It's not something that's going to happen right away. And so, you know, my thing is to get through this process quickly. I tell my sponsees, get through these steps, and then study them a lifetime. And today, as a recovered person, you know, living in steps 10, 11, 12, and I'm constantly studying step 6 and 7. You know, I have a prayer that I say every morning around step six. You know, and I love what it says here as a reminder for me, if we cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us to be willing. Well, I have to be honest. I'm really rigorously honest with myself. There are things in my life where it was a process for me to become willing, you know, to have my higher power remove that. So, but in the meantime, I'm focusing on the things that I can do. You know, it's just like if I go to a restaurant and I told the waiter what I want, I'm not going to go in the kitchen and figure out what they're making and go keep going to the waiter and say when my food is going to come. I go on. I focus on the people that I'm with. I'm entertaining myself. I'm focusing on other things. And that's how I see step six is for me today, is that, okay, if I'm not willing with in that area, you know, I'm just asking the higher power for the willingness until it is removed. And it happens. I can't tell you when, but it does. And that's what the beauty of recovery is for me today. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. And Rabia, you're up, and then it'll be me.
Good morning, Monica. Thank you for your service this morning. Good morning, fellow visionaries. This is Rabia, and I am a compulsive overeater from New York. And this paragraph has 8 we's in it. I was struck by them this morning, and I just counted them again. There are 8 we's. And so I'm not meant to do this step by myself, and it really is not very complicated at all. First of all, I'd like to welcome the newcomers on the line. I've spoken to a couple of you, and we are so happy you're in this classroom with us this morning, learning these precise instructions of this big book study. So when I got to this sixth step, I was working with the guide, and a guide is someone who worked with a guide before and went through the big book, and now she's passing it on to me as I'm passing it on to you. And so we don't do this by ourselves. And so by the time I got to this sixth step, I had just done the fifth step, as we talked about yesterday, and I went home and sat for an hour. And then I called her back, and we did the sixth step together. And all of these we's in this paragraph, the first 100 recovered alcoholics who wrote this book all agreed on these precise instructions. And I don't need any more than this. It's so simple. It's so simple, and it can be made so complicated because, you know, when we recover, we get so smart, which is great. We get such clarity, and we have so much knowledge, and we have so much wisdom, and we want to give it all to you. However, I need to keep it really, really simple because step six, this one paragraph is step six. I read it with my sponsor. There was no procrastination because we wanted to go forward together. There was no hesitation. I didn't know where the step was going to bring me. I just knew that I had the willingness, and that's all I needed to know to move forward, and it's just that simple. So I would like to take a breath myself and just know, oh, all these words are beautiful, and it's a very simple process, and the instructions are right here, and thank God we have each other to guide us in the way that we have been guided by our sponsors who so freely gave to us what was given to them. And so I like staying right on the paragraph where we are because I think it's important for the newcomers to know that it's this simple, it's right here, it's right in this paragraph, and we all go forward together at TAF. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabia. And my name is Monica T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So here we are on step six. And step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So the first question I had, well, what are defects of character? Well, our basic defects of character are resentment, fear, dishonesty, and selfishness. And I was taught that I am powerless over these. Another way here, I am powerless. And I'm not going to remove these. But the behaviors that I display as a result of these character defects, I do have a responsibility over them. So, for example, for me, being selfish, I might show that by being controlling. So, you know, how's that worked for you, Monica? Or dishonest, lying, other people that may be a people pleaser, self-seeking, gossiping, judging, fear, withdrawing. For me, it would have been maybe being angry or withdrawing or being passive. Now, those are my behaviors, and I do have a responsibility on those behaviors. And, you know, I've done all this writing in four and given this my way in five, and a lot of these I saw over and over and over again, my judging, my gossiping, my controlling. I have a responsibility on those behaviors. So God has showed me to them, so now I can make a choice. How am I going to behave? And, you know, it's a process. This is a process. And this step right here is saying willing, 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 willing. And the principle is willingness. Monica, are you willing to continue working on this stuff? Yes, I am. Because it showed me my way isn't working. And, you know, I'm tired of being a big old gossiper and judgmental person and criticizing everybody. It makes me restless, irritable, and discontented. So, am I willing? You know, and Bill asks us that questions here. You know, are you willing to continue this process? He knows us. Thank God he was a real alcoholic. He knows us. You know, am I willing? And at this point, it was quick for me too when I did 6 and 7 with my sponsor. Yes, I was. Did I understand all of this? No, I did not. Like everything else, it's been a process. And God constantly reveals more to me. And with that, I'm going to pass. A lot more people would like to talk. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Sally.
Penny C.
Sally. Leia. Penny. Leia. Bob. Okay, let's Sally, Penny, Leia, and Bob. Let's go with that. And we'll see how our time goes. Sally, you're up.
Thanks, Monica. It's Sally A., recovered compulsive overeater in South Jersey. I'm going to be really brief because I'd love to hear the others. I just wanted to speak to this the ending here. We have this paragraph that's telling us and talking to us about the coping mechanisms that we were using our whole lives. Our character defects are how we were coping with life because we weren't turning to a higher power. We were figuring it out for ourselves. So these were our coping mechanisms. That's what my character defects are to me. They are my coping mechanisms that were flawed and never worked. They were just an illusion, smoke and mirrors, that somehow these character defects were going to get the job done, were going to get me to get what I want, not lose what I had, and control everything and everyone. And finally, what I want to say is at the very end of this, we ask God to help us be willing. That is the step 6 prayer. If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Change requires direction. It requires help from another, even God. Step 6 prayer, we ask God to help us be willing. Thanks for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally. Penny, see, you're up. And then Leia. Penny, star 1, Penny.
Okay, here I am. I thought I was. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater from Boston. And I like the idea that we can, and I like separating these two steps. So often at meetings, even big book step meetings, because there's only one paragraph on each step, steps 6 and 7 are taken as one. And they really, there's a reason why Bill W. made 1 6 and the other 7. And I appreciate staying on step 6 for this meeting. So this step saying, you know, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, to move what was objectionable. Well, you know, I think it's about an attitude change again, because I knew even before I ever started the steps that my compulsive overeating was objectionable. And what did I do about it? I did everything I could. I thought I could do it by myself. I was sure I could. And like a lot of other people, I tried every diet club. I picked up every magazine on the rack. And, you know, even went to the supermarket lines that were long so I'd have more time to read all of these articles about how I was going to, you know, lose weight. And I was exhausted trying myself. And what this step says to me is that I was ready to let God do it. I never knew that God was interested in these little things I thought were little about myself. And so, you know, in step three, I gave my life and my will over to the care of God. I think for me, step six is a renewal of that step three, where I say, all right, I'm going to let God, I'm not going to keep thinking that I'm God and I can do it myself. And that's the whole crux of this. A lot of people spend a lot of time on we're entirely ready and get caught up with that word entirely. I think it's more about giving up our own thinking we can do it ourselves and letting God do God's work. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Leah, you're up, and then it'll be Bob.
Thanks so much, Monica. Good morning, everybody. It's Leah. You know, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? I mean, certainly, you know, through steps four and five, it became very clear what was blocking me. You know, those patterns were very evident. Because of the simplicity of this process, it didn't have to be complicated. You know, was I ready to be changed? Absolutely. You know, I did not want to continue to live the way I had lived. Because the way I had lived, there was no quality to my life. Was it possible for me to do that changing? It was clear through all the methods and all the remedies and all the psychology and all the therapy and all the self-help books and all the shenanigans that I had participated in that I could not wrestle myself out of this. You know, I needed God. I needed a power. There were certain things that were blocking me from access to the power. What were those things? Sure, I had self-pity. Sure, I had jealousy. There was envy. There was remorse. There was alienation. There was a sense of feeling worthless. I mean, those were a few of my favorite things. However, it all boiled down to the four simple facets that the big book describes. I was dishonest. I wasn't telling others or myself the truth about the reality around me. I was full of fear. I was self-seeking. You know, I was reacting to how, you know, others defined me. I was selfish. You know, I basically wanted my way, whether it was for good or bad or a mixture of reasons. I wanted my way. And so every defect of character boiled down to that, selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear. It made it very, very simple. You know, sure, I participated in gossip at times, but in and of itself, gossiping was not my character defect. I did it because I was feeling less than, or I wanted to feel superior. I did it because I was being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. So the big book method really simplified it and made it an easy process to transition. How had I managed my life? Was that working? What were the ingredients that made me who I was? And when it all got boiled down, it was selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, fear, and with that simplicity, transitioning into step seven was smooth and easy. You know, God was going to take away these pieces of me and allow that potential to come through, to change from what I had become to what God intended me to be. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Leah. And Bob.
Bob. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And I'd like to concentrate just on one thing, and that's the word ask. In this program for many years, I didn't realize how important that word was. And I think that comes in that whatever steps we're working on, and it certainly comes to me in steps 6 and 7, and I passed through them very quickly the first time through the steps. And I boil this overall program down into 6 A's, awareness, acceptance, and then number 3, which I missed for many years, and that's the key word, is ask, before I take the action. And asking my higher power for guidance is so key to me before I take the action. Otherwise, my ego is taking the action, and that never worked. And I think that really applies in terms of all the steps, but in 6 and 7 is asking my higher power, whom I call God, what is my part of this? And if my part is just to get out of the way and let God do it, then that's what I need to do. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Bob. And we have come to the end of our time this morning. And I want to thank everyone who has shared. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sarah W., could you read for us from A Vision for You?
Good morning, Monica. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Sarah W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.